The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Dear Media IRL is back, and we're showing up bigger, better, and louder than ever. Join us on May 4th in Austin, Texas for the ultimate live podcasting experience. Watch and learn from your favorite Dear Media hosts as they bring their insightful discussions from your headphones to the stage. Get ready to be inspired, entertained, and watch audio get a makeover. Tickets are on sale now at dearmedia.com/IRL. See you on May 4th in Austin, Texas.
Hey guys, it's Sammy.
And Sammy, and welcome to Transform, your safe space to form the best version of you.
There are going to be a lot of laughs and oh boy, a lot of tears.
But we are so grateful to be alongside you in your journey to transform.
Ooh, here we go.
Let's do it.
Welcome back to Transform. Today we have a very, very special episode. We are talking to the lovely Mari Llewellyn. She is the co-founder of Bloom, host of Pursuit of Wellness podcast, founder of Strength by Mari, and one of our very best friends. In this episode, we have the ultimate girl chat. We talk about Mari's weight loss journey, how she maintains her weight now, her acne journey, why it's so good for women to weightlift, her morning routine, how she handles hard days, and the power of getting in touch with your body. This is such a real episode of girls supporting girls and having real life chats, and I'm so excited for you guys to be a part of it. Let's do it.
Welcome back to another episode of Transform. We are here with one of our best friends, someone who is such an inspiration to us, someone we honestly just freaking adore, Mari. Welcome.
Thank you, guys. Oh, well, this feels really special.
I could not agree more. I feel like we were so excited to talk to you. And we both even said, I feel like Mari is a piece of both of us. Like you are both of us. We both connect to you in such different ways, but such similar ways. And I think when reflecting on who you are to myself and even Sammy and I talking about it, you are by far the most honest person I have ever met. And wow. It's an honesty of just really being you and vulnerable and real about any topic and just zero judgment. And I think that everyone can feel that even from your podcast. And I'm so excited that you have, because it just oozes just true transparency and honesty and love. So we're so excited to have you on. Thanks for joining.
Thanks, guys. And I feel the same way about you both. I agree. I think I relate to both of you in different ways. And you are so warm and make me feel so welcome whenever I'm with or talk to either of you. And I'm so excited about your new podcast. You guys are crushing. Mm-hmm. And I love the fact that we can be in the same industry and like support each other.
1,000,000%.
It feels really like just we're there for each other and it doesn't feel competitive or I don't know. It feels like a real like girlhood,
which is really cool because we actually are in every single way almost the same areas of business.
I know.
Like, you think of the app you have, you think of the podcast now, like, and I truly have talked to you so much about business. I know Sammy has as well. And like, it is so powerful that we can look at each other and just, we could not be rooting for you more. And we feel that so in return and learn so much from each other. So,
yeah.
I'm so grateful.
Yeah. I think it's just beautiful validation that what we are all doing is needed. Yeah. And I think we feel that so much with Pursuit of Wellness and now like being podcast hosts too, playing into it and giving so much of our hearts is just so aligned with our purpose. And that obviously is why we all love each other so much.
Totally.
But truly just to dive so deeply into your heart today and kind of, you know, the tables have turned and interview you and truly all of the interviews that we've listened to that you have given are so transformative for us, again, in different ways. But I think we really do want to take it back and not necessarily the cliche of like, what moment was it that allowed you to start your journey? But like what you now as your Mari in today's day and age would actually tell your past self who was about to get started.
Wow. Such a good question. I've come such a long way. And I really, something that's been challenging for me is when I think about the old me, and I don't know if you feel this way, but I have such a disconnect from old Mari. And I think it came from a lot of shame and guilt about who I was back then, because it's so different than who I am now. And I've slowly been, you know, reconnecting and having empathy for who I was. So I think the thing I would tell myself is, like, it's okay. And the things I was doing back then were to survive. Like, I really was just trying to get through the hardest moments of my life. And as a young girl in my family or in college, like, the things I was doing, they weren't coming from a malicious place or a place of, like, not caring. It was because I didn't know what else to do. And now I have so many more tools and so much more knowledge that I do know what to do when I'm struggling or in a bad place. And I just wish, you know, I could give myself a hug back then and just have a little bit more empathy for myself.
Mom.
I truly, like, while you were saying the word empathy, I feel like I would love to know if you relate, but the consistent versions of myself I had to have empathy for, and even that girl who just started, I have empathy for, but truly on and on again, I'm having so much empathy for so many versions of myself that's doing this life. And I wasn't going to go there this quick, but I, like, have such a question of, I share my life on social media so deeply, and you even just saying, like, I have so much empathy for the version of me then. How do you do this in the public eye of sharing all of these versions of yourself and people coming up to you maybe and saying, oh my gosh, you lost 90 pounds. Tell me about that. And bringing up these versions of you so, so often, which is a beautiful thing because they can relate to it. And it's so amazing that they want to talk about it. But how do you have that empathy and protect yourself and love yourself of these versions that do come up so often with being in the light?
Such a great question. And I was just talking about this, but to be honest, I think when I first started telling my weight loss story, it was a little bit of a dissociation thing where I, like, wasn't really in my body and I was just telling it. And people kept asking me the same question. So I kept telling it to the point where I, like, wasn't connected anymore to the story. Because the truth of my weight loss is it wasn't to me, it wasn't just a weight loss. It was like an overhaul of who I am. It was like the first time in my life that I faced the pain of my childhood head on. And I really was honest with myself about my situation and just a complete, like, identity search. Like, I found my purpose. I figured out who I am. And it wasn't easy. It was very painful for me. And it wasn't linear progress. It was very much like, you know, one foot in front of the other every day. I had no idea that I would end up where I am now. So I think the work that I've done had to be offline, you know? So, like, I do share a lot, and I'm not quite sure why I'm so easygoing about being so vulnerable. I think it is from in my childhood, in my household, I had to attune to my parents rather than the other way around, because it was a pretty explosive household. Mental health was a problem in my household. So I had to figure out how it was everyone else feeling that day. And it was very inconsistent. So I got good at communicating my feelings and, like, trying to figure out what was going on and kind of performing for people around me and making them feel good and figuring out, you know, how does my family feel today? Like, what can I do for them today? So I think that's made me good at sharing. But behind the scenes, I have to do a lot of inner work, therapy, having conversations with friends like this, just being really honest to figure out. I mean, I have epiphanies every day, I feel like, about my journey. And then I think the podcast has been really transformative for me, because Instagram, you can only really share so much. And I always felt like people don't really know me, you know, because I think people know me for that before and after photo. And it's such a, like, small glimpse at my life in my head. Like, I feel like it doesn't really summarize who I am. So, yeah, I think that's such a good point, the public side of it.
Yeah, I relate to that so much. And honestly, even with my weight loss, it's so easy to comment on the weight. It's so easy to see, like, the obvious is the physical. Like, you look different on the outside. When in your weight loss journey did you actually realize, oh, this wasn't just a weight loss thing? This wasn't just me being overweight. This is... sounds like a lot of inner child work that you've been doing from way back when that was buried down and expressing itself through coping, through food and lack of movement and all the things that you've prioritized now.
Yeah, I feel like the second that I started paying attention to what I was putting in my body and the way I was treating my body and even just keeping my own promises, like that was a big thing for me. Okay, I told myself I'm going to go to the gym tomorrow, or I'm going to do an extra walk tomorrow, or I'm going to make a healthy dinner tomorrow. Just by like showing up for myself and keeping those promises, I was like, feel like more confident than I ever have before. And it's weird.
And day in and day out.
Yes, day in and day out. And in college, I had, it's funny because I reflect back and I was like, I felt like I was so confident in those moments. Like I'd wear like these little outfits, whatever the style was back then. I look back on my bodycon dresses. I'm like, what was I doing? But I was feeling myself back then. I mean, good for me. But this was the first time in my life that I had like true confidence, not in the way I looked, but like trusting myself to keep going. And like, I think that was the big thing, was building trust with myself. Because before that, I never knew if I was going to finish a project or really do what I said I was going to do. That's my pet peeve now. I hate saying things if I'm not going to do it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, so, you're not going to try to do anything. You're going to do it or you're not.
Exactly. I'm like a very all or nothing person. And it's because I'm sort of like rebelling against the old version of me, I think. And I'm trying to soften up with that a bit, because the mindset that served me in my fitness journey, I needed it then, but I don't need it now. And I'm learning to sort of let go of that.
Yeah.
You know?
So are you super disciplined still?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I wouldn't say as much with fitness anymore. Eating healthy is enjoyable for me. I love cooking. I love exploring with food. I really enjoy it. That's not difficult for me. The workouts, I used to be really intense. Like I used to work out really, really hard 6 days a week. Then I had this whole acne journey, which me and Sammy C have talked about a lot, with my hormones and, you know, wanting to have kids. I lost my period for a year after birth control. So I really had to slow down. And it was great for me because it gave me so much perspective on health and how it doesn't have to be exactly what I thought it was. Like I can go for a walk 3 times a week and weightlift twice a week and whatever, you know, switch it up in that way. I'm very controlling with like my work and staying busy, and I have to work on that. I was just telling you guys, like, I have such a crazy week and I for some reason shoved it as full as it can possibly be. And you know, I probably do that when I'm feeling out of control, because it makes me feel in control.
Like so much structure
that I don't have to think about anything that's like causing me pain.
That's such a real moment. I feel like we don't connect, maybe not that it's numbing, but dissociating in ways to work, because work is awesome. Work is productive. Work is success. But the fact that you're actually saying, which I connect to so much of this and I've been working on so deeply, is work is also a place that you can dissociate, and it doesn't connect in our like society. And so I think for me, it's been a really big moment to actually see work as a place that I do want to be really present, and I don't want to just fit 400 things. I know that there's a time and place for it. Like, we've all been there.
Yeah.
But understanding like, okay, self, where are the areas that I dissociate, and work can also be that. Mm-hmm. So I love that you're working on that. I could not agree more for myself.
Yeah. You mentioned that you're still a bit dissociated from your past self. Are you working towards that connection? And if so, how are you doing it?
Therapy has been helpful for me, because I noticed, you know how they say the things that are like the hardest for you to talk about are the things you need to work on the most?
So absolutely.
I was like aware that I was avoiding certain things. And I have this weird thing where I'm like slightly performative with my therapist, which I have to work on because of my childhood. So I like go to therapy and I'm like, hey, girl, like, you know, like I want to be like her favorite. And I'm like, oh, things are great. And I don't know what it is. And I like read her facial expression. I'm like, is she enjoying this conversation? Like, should I change the topic? Is she bored? Like, I'm always like reading what she's thinking, and which is so bad. Like,
literally being a podcast host.
Literally, like, it's so, like, this is where I'm supposed to tell her everything. And yeah. Just, you know, have no judgment zone. But I noticed like I was avoiding things that had happened in my past in that area of my life. And I was like, okay, like I probably need to. And she pointed it out. She was like, you clearly don't connect yourself now with that girl. And I think we need to like just slowly work on that, even just with the language. Like, instead of saying, oh, that version of me, saying like, I, you know, and really embracing like that was me. So I'm still working on it. It's an evolution, but
absolutely.
I think what doesn't help is I have blocked out a lot of memory from my childhood. And I think a lot of times when we have like highly stressful things happen or trauma happen, our brains block it out, which can be helpful, but it also makes it difficult for me to go back and work on it, you know?
Yeah, Sam and I were actually talking about this today because it's almost like so uncomfortable to go there, to revisit, to bring it back up. The easy thing is to stay distracted, whether it's the beautiful distraction of work or whatever it may be. But truly going there, doing the work, like it is so challenging because then you have to feel it.
Mm-hmm.
You are giving yourself permission to feel your feelings, and they're not always the positive ones.
Yeah. What tools do you use, Mari, like on a daily basis of running a company, having a husband, doing life, having friendships, relationships, all of it? How do you be there for yourself on a daily where hardships can come up, all of a sudden past trauma can appear, whatever it is? What tools do you use on a daily?
I feel like I think of my morning and night because those are kind of the times outside of my work hours where I can have a minute to myself. And I'm quite, they've become such habits for me that I don't even think about it. So when I wake up, that's like me time right away. I'm either at a workout and I really try not to go on my phone as much as I can, or a walk. And I just kind of have like a podcast moment, or, you know, I'm just like enjoying my morning. Nighttime is really where I like do the stillness stuff. So right now I like to sit on my PMF mat.
Truth. Okay. What does that thing do?
I wish I could tell you.
I just got one.
I wish I could tell. Do you know?
No, I don't. I just got one.
None of us
but
know.
But I don't know
this
what it
is. This is where Huberman comes in handy.
None of us know, but I can tell you the vibes are great. The vibes are great.
Yeah. Okay. So what do you feel?
Whatever's coming through that PMF mat, it's doing a good thing. I don't know.
I
what
love
does
that.
What does PMF even stand for?
I don't know. I just got it yesterday. Literally, I showed Sammy on FaceTime. I'm like, look what I got, because this brand reached out and I was like, this looks awesome and part of a meditation experience. I know you have the red light too. I use that. I don't know yet what it does, but I'll let you know when I do.
Yeah, same.
There's a lot of beauty in like not needing to know, but just using it as a self-love tool.
I love how you're justifying this for us, Sammy.
Like, we are wellness girlies who know jack shit about something that we literally are recommending.
It's a feeling. It's a feeling.
But like, we're like, the vibes are right.
The placebo effect is fully there.
Yeah.
So PMF.com, people.
PMF. Greg is also loving it. He lays on it. Fully naked.
I knew you were going to say naked. Yeah.
Naked.
Yeah.
Absorbing.
Oh
yeah.
Red light here.
Yeah.
So I sit in front of the red light. I'm trying to work on my face because I want like the acne scarring benefits. And then I read 10 pages. I'm reading Essentialism, which is about narrowing down your focus and saying no to more. It's actually, I was listening to your guys' podcast and you were talking about being more intentional with what you say yes to and what you say no to. It's all about that. And I was like, I need this. So I'm 10 pages in.
Essentialism. Okay, well, we need to read that. The power of no is so real.
Oh, yeah.
And also, like, again, like, knowing what is a distraction so you can focus on the things that are so in line with your soul.
Yeah, because otherwise you say yes to everything and you're doing everything sort of thin spread and it doesn't work.
And it's not for you. Like, those yeses aren't for you.
Yeah, I feel like I grew up in a family of people-pleasing for sure. Like, that is something I think I've worked on the most as an adult, is people pleasing and not being the temperature of the room and making sure it's, you know, good. What is the number one thing you say you work on consistently from childhood that is just continuously brought up as Mari that we love and have compassion towards her?
Thank you. Oh, that's a tough one because I have a few issues, guys. I feel like dissociating is a really big thing for me. It's been something that, like, I basically lived my childhood in imaginary land. And it was so cute and fun and I had so many games. But I look back and I was like, oh, I was definitely escaping my reality. So now if I'm having like a really hard conversation or I'm talking about something really triggering, I just feel myself check out. Like fully like eyes glaze, like I'm not there. And if I'm really, really stressed, that happens too. So I really work on grounding and I'll even do it like mid-conversation, like touching your body or looking around the room and what do I smell? What do I hear? What do I feel?
I love that advice.
Like really just getting back into my body, because my tendency and my autopilot reaction is to dissociate, because that's what my childhood brain did to make me feel better, you know?
I
I think we can all agree that there are so many responsibilities that we juggle in a day, and we're trying to find the tools to manage our stressful schedules and really calming the body down. And that is why I am so excited to talk about Ritual's stress relief product. This product uses first-of-its-kind technology to support the body's natural cortisol response so you can take on the daily juggle. I am such a fan of Ritual. I've been using their protein powder for as long as I can remember, so I am so excited to try this stress relief product. This technology is designed to optimize the release of a trio of clinically studied ingredients to help the body manage stress, like ashwagandha, L-theanine, saffron, and these ingredients are really going to help that body calm down that stress. Ritual suggests taking stress relief in the morning when cortisol is typically at its peak to support the body's natural cortisol response with an instant and extended release formulation for all day support. The juggle is real. Don't just respond to stress. Get ahead of it with stress relief from Ritual. Get 25% off your first month at ritual.com/transform. Start Ritual or add stress relief to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/transform for 25% off. This is for all of my girls who struggle with trying to stay on top of eating healthy, finding the right recipes, not overbuying at the grocery store, not feeling overwhelmed at the grocery store. This is Hungry Root. Hungry Root is your partner for healthy living. It's truly the easiest way to get fresh, high-quality groceries and simple, healthy recipes delivered right to your door. I talked about this, how I took a really cute, fun, quick quiz, and you share with Hungry Root your personal health goals, what you like to eat, the kitchen appliances you actually have. And from there, they actually build you a personalized cart with all of the groceries you'll need. And they give you delicious recipes that they recommend based on your quiz. I am so excited to receive my box and really start to dive into these certain recipes that they invited me to start cooking. They also give you the option to try snacks and really healthy, yummy, gluten-free, dairy-free, whatever your dietitian needs are. It truly is such an easy way to try new foods as well as get comfortable in the kitchen. It tastes good, they're quick to make, they have trusted ingredients, and it truly saves hours of planning, shopping, and cooking, and truly it delivers right to your door. So right now, Hungry Root is offering Transform listeners 40% off your first delivery and free veggies for life. Just go to hungryroot.com/transform to get 40% off your first delivery and get your free veggies. That's hungryroot.com/transform. Don't forget to use our link so they know we sent you.
How would you describe what it feels like to be in your body?
Ooh, like calm. Like right now, I feel like I'm in my body and I feel like I'm not rushing anything and I'm not sort of just, it's not chaotic. I feel here. I feel like I'm with myself. I'm present. I feel the table. I see you guys. Like I'm just aware of my surroundings. And I think a lot of us actually live in dissociation now with phones and all working constantly. Yeah. There's so much distraction.
I straight up like can't hear people when I'm on my phone.
That's a skill.
Yeah. Or maybe I've just tuned them out. Andrew's going to be listening to this and be like, yeah, me. But totally, like if you're mindlessly scrolling or like super into the email or text you're writing, I straight up can't even hear anymore.
Yeah.
And I think too, like just putting a label on it and calling it dissociation is really something nice to have in our toolkit because so many of us deal with it, but I don't think we're aware of it.
Yeah. I mean, if you look around, like at a restaurant or a busy street, how many people are heads down scrolling? Yeah. This has been like a recent, I think because of how much Greg and I have been working lately, I've had to really set boundaries in our house because both of us just got in this habit of like working into the night on the screens. And it just gives me the ick. Like the phone, I got to the point where I was like, I want this phone like away from me and out of the room. So that's something I really want to do in 2024 is sort of have like really strict phone boundaries.
I love Sammy's question of what it feels like to be in your body as someone who can relate on a transformation level with the physical body. How long did it take you and what was the process of being just at home in your body again when there was such difference and change?
Such a good question. I had an interesting relationship with my body because growing up, never thought about weight, never thought about food. I feel quite lucky in that way. In my household, we ate like, I always say European style. Like we had baguettes and cheese everywhere and ham. And I just like enjoyed food. I didn't really think about it. And I never really noticed my weight. Like I grew up quite like a lean, tall person. And then in college, when binge drinking was an issue and I was like put on a lot of medications and I was eating a ton, that's when I started gaining weight. And it was the first time I ever noticed that I looked different. But more importantly, like I felt so unhealthy in my body and I felt completely checked out. Like my emotions were always really high, just out of control. So feeling at home in my body, I just feel like on my fitness journey, it made me more, but I feel like before you get into health and fitness, you don't have much of an awareness of how you feel. Like now that I'm so in touch with myself, I know the second I'm like not feeling 100% or this muscle feels weird, or maybe I'm getting a little sick. Like I'm just so overly aware of myself. Like hangovers now for me are unbearable.
Oh my gosh. Unreal.
Yeah.
Unbearable.
Yeah, I agree.
Like one drink, I'm like, my God, you know?
Yeah.
And it's a blessing and a curse because you end up really taking care of yourself. Like 1 hour less of sleep, I can't even handle. So yeah, I think on the journey, it was actually probably the first time I ever felt at home in my body because prior to that, I was just sort of a vessel. I don't know. I just wasn't even aware of it. And even the way that in college, I feel like we all went through this, but I would eat like one Subway sandwich a day and be like, got my nutrients in. Like what? No. So yeah, fitness really taught me to appreciate what my body does for me.
Wow. Yeah, that connection with your body is such a gift.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of us do ignore it. And to really harness it and love it and nurture it is something so special. What are your non-negotiables? I know we went through like the morning routine and the evening stillness, but what is like your current wellness routine of like, give us your weekly workout schedule and like what you're actually following and like where are you at with your nutrition? Because I also know that in a journey, things change. Mm-hmm. And I love that you're embracing this like softer nature, still embracing your disciplined self and that self-love. But like, where are you actually at now?
Yeah. Good question. So my most recent like health journey was really my skin. And that changed a lot for me, my hormones. So I started working with an integrative health practitioner. I've had to practice to get that perfectly because I used to just call her my doctor and that did not
work. It's a mouthful.
That didn't work. So yes. And we went through all my lab testing. Like we did.
Is this Emily?
Yeah.
Okay. I have the lab test with her next week or
You're
2 weeks.
Kidding.
I swear. I listened to your episode with her and I was like, I'm doing it.
You are like gonna love her. Honestly, it's life changing.
I can't wait.
It's actually life changing. I was shocked. Like I had candida, I had mold. I had no idea.
Oh my God. You
remember how frustrated I was with my skin. And I was like, what am I doing wrong? Like when you live a healthy lifestyle and you feel like you do everything right and it still isn't working, it's so frustrating.
It's so frustrating.
So to do the deep lab work and be like, oh, like I have high levels of candida.
What even is candida?
It's like a fungus.
Wow.
And the way that you kill it off is with botanicals, by technically starving it by not eating sugar. So I followed a certain protocol. And then also I saw that my liver was really overloaded, which is because of toxins like heavy metals. I was eating fish every single day. I was eating so much fish and I had heavy metals, which then exasperates the liver. And the liver affects the hormones. Everything is connected. It was such a like eye-opening experience for me. So I started doing like castor oil packs and hot lemon water in the morning and sauna and just like so prioritizing that inner health. And it transformed my skin. I mean, I'm still like having occasional breakouts from whatever.
You're glowing.
But yeah, you really are.
Oh,
and
thanks.
I want to talk about the acne stories deeply because I can connect to it. But I know I cut you off about the schedule. And everyone's going to be like, I need to hear the schedule.
Let's see the
schedule. I want to make sure you say it. And then I want to tap into acne because hello.
Okay, yeah, we'll talk about acne. But let me do, I'll do an example what I eat in a day. And then I'll tell you my weekly workout schedule. So first thing in the morning, I wake up, I have a lot of water. I do whatever workout I'm doing that day. I come back. I have greens, Bloom Greens. That's my company.
They're amazing.
Full disclosure. Thank you, guys. Mango?
Mm-hmm. I'm a coconut girl.
I should have brought you some today. Frick.
I think you just sent me some. I have a fresh batch.
Good. Thank God. Okay. Well, I love you girls. Thank you so much. Have my greens. I like strawberry kiwi. That's my new favorite.
That's the new one.
Yeah, she's so good. So juicy.
I have her sitting in the pantry.
She's so good.
I need to go for
it. Does Andrew take it?
Loves.
No way.
Loves.
So not only does he love my hat, but he loves the greens.
Oh, I mean, Andrew might be your biggest fan. And I mean, we're going to get to Austin in the move too, but like Andrew and Greg are about to be.
I can't wait because Andrew looks like a character.
Oh, he's such a goon. I'm obsessed.
I hope he's listening right now.
Yeah, he better be.
Andrew, leave us a thumbs up, please.
Yeah. Subscribe, like.
Subscribe. Oh my God, I keep getting so thrown off. Okay, greens. And then my current breakfast is a chicken sausage. Love a sausage. I'm a big sausage girl, always have been.
We all love our sausage.
Toad and hole. Bacon. A slice of bread, seriously, sourdough.
Yeah, what is that sourdough? It looks amazing.
Fire.
Is it gluten-free or it's...
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Gluten-free sourdough. Yeah.
It looks so good on your stories.
It's fire. You got to get it. It's either at Erewhon or you can order it online.
Okay.
Highly recommend. I mean, you gals are gluten-free, right?
I am. Yes. She's...
I mean, I am usually. I'm...
You dabble. You dabble with gluten.
I'm still on my journey.
I mean, you seem fine. Like, I'm sure you're fine with gluten. We're just like acne like, girls.
Don't even try me.
Yeah. I can't. So I do a spread of ghee on the sourdough bread. I'm obsessed with ghee.
Why ghee over tallow or butter?
I also love tallow.
Okay.
Butter breaks me out.
I wish
I could do it. I'm just not a dairy girl. Like, I've had so many specialists come on my show and say dairy's good for you, and I cannot. I try.
We
and
were
I
just
break
talking
out.
About this with Shira Barlow, nutritionist. Yeah. And yeah, like, I literally could drink butter.
I know, it's so good.
I can't, yeah.
Ghee tastes the same to me, and it doesn't break me out.
I tried ghee after listening to your episode, and I literally use it, but it's a little strong for me. Maybe because I haven't had real butter in so long. The taste actually is like, I put it in my smoothie because I wanted some like healthy fats, and I was like, "This is disgusting."
I don't know if it belongs in a smoothie, babe.
I learned really quickly.
You're
that
like
I could taste it.
How to make a butter smoothie?
I'm literally a butter smoothie.
What I eat
in a day at Sammy Clark.
That's creative.
Follow for more.
Yeah, no, I'm not a chef, so don't worry.
No, you make some good things. I watch your YouTube.
From our nutritionist and our dietitian. Yeah. I have no
Sammy
idea what I'm doing.
Sammy literally just makes hard-boiled eggs 24/7.
Call me for hard-boiled eggs, and I love sausages too. Cottage cheese, easy. Actually, that's a debate that we can talk about too.
Oh, yeah, we'll talk about cottage cheese. Yeah. Okay, anyway, that's the breakfast. Oh, strawberries as well. Okay, lunch. No, I have a snack first. Snack, I have these protein bars called Raw Bars. R-A-W-R. Emily told me about them. I pretty much do whatever Emily tells me to do. And they are so good. It's a small family business out of Texas, I believe. Almond butter and chocolate. Really, really good. So I have that. Then in lunch, I'm going to be honest, that's my Erewhon order in a salad. Like, I allow myself to just order in because I cook so much. I'm like, lunch, I'm at the office. I'll just walk over to Erewhon. Then dinner is almost always steak and carrots or like steak and salad. I mean, I eat a lot of steak.
You just crave red meat.
Oh, red meat feels so good for me.
I'm like that too. Did Emily mention anything within your blood work about like why you crave that?
No, she just said that like the red meat was good for what I was doing. Mm-hmm. She's a big fan of red meat because it has so many nutrients. She was actually, when I first started with her, I said I was eating a lot of salmon. And she was like, I'd love to pull that back to once a week because it was a lot of heavy metals. So I do try to switch up. Like, I'll do steak, maybe lamb sometimes, sometimes chicken, but I do eat a lot of red meat. Mm-hmm. And my blood work looks good. So it works for me. And then for dessert, my latest hyperfixation is the Evolved Simply White Chocolate. Have you guys had that?
No.
Next level.
Okay, I'm going to need
chocolate.
All of
I feel like I couldn't eat that forever either. So obviously it's dairy-free too.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's like very soft. I can't explain it, but it's so good. And then I am on a pretty intense supplement regime for the candida and everything. they can go listen to the episode with Emily Morrow if they want to know the details, but it's all sort of like it fights bacteria, it fights candida, immune supporting, liver supporting, Shisandra root, all that kind of stuff. So I have like a grandmother organizer of all my supplements.
I love that. The rainbow one.
It's next level. It's I have two.
I feel like you whipped that out actually. Lunch, was I with Alyssa? Oh, we were in, where were we? New York.
Yeah.
She whipped this supplement thing out while we were having coffee with her. And I was like,
so embarrassing.
Hi, Mari. Like, it was like my second time meeting her. And I was like, this is my girl.
You would think so, like, I'm dying, actually. Like, you'd be like really worried if you saw it because it's huge. But I'm just healing my candida.
Right.
I'm just organized. Okay. No, it's a little extra. It's a little cringeworthy, but highly recommend. Maybe we can link it in the show notes for people. And then in terms of workouts, it kind of depends on the week.
Yeah.
But I would say I'm doing weights about 3 times a week right now, which is crazy for me because I used to do them 6. Like, I used to be a weight girly. And sometimes I do it alone in my garage. Sometimes I work out with my trainer, Paulina, who's a part of my app. She's Polish. She has a 6-pack. She's a savage. She's so cool. She kills me. Like, she's so intense. So I can only do her like once or twice a week. Outside of that, I do Pilates once a week. And then other than that, I just walk. Mm-hmm. I go on walks up hills in my neighborhood. I take the dogs with me. I vibe out. Sometimes I join Fee at her training mate classes, which are really fun.
Yeah.
I try and keep it fun now. Like, I used to be so intense about it and I kind of was like burnt out from it. So now I really try and keep it fun. And, you know, if I'm traveling, if I'm in Austin, for example, I love to go to Collective or like the Austin proper gym. Like, I really try and like enjoy it. But weights have always been like my fundamental exercise of choice.
Do you feel like they transformed your body in a way that I think like a lot of times, especially for myself, I kept my distance from weights for way too long because as someone who was larger than I wanted to be completely transparent, it was kind of this fear-based notion that why would I lift something that makes people bigger when it actually, I think in my experience, fully reshaped my entire physique?
Yep.
What did that look like for you?
So glad you said that because I think a lot of women, unfortunately, have been fed this narrative that weights will make them bulky. And I think it's sad because it's not the case. And I feel lucky that I entered my fitness journey with Greg as my partner because Greg is a bodybuilder. He always says he was like, came out of the womb with dumbbells, which is like, honestly, I can't picture him any other way. Like, he is just a beefy boy and he always has been and just freaking loves the gym.
So when
I first met him, I was like, this kid is out of his mind. Like, we were in college. He was going to the gym twice a day, weightlifting, meal prepping chicken and rice, just like passionate about bodybuilding.
And was he ever forcing you to do the same or he was like, do your thing, here's me?
Didn't care. Couldn't care less if I was working out or not. Mm. I actually really applaud him for that because I could see it being tempting to like try and get me into it, but he didn't bring me to the gym until I asked. And I was like, hey, I think I want to do this. Can you teach me how?
Wow. That's so powerful. What did that conversation look like?
I remember FaceTiming him. I was back in New York and he was still at Drexel in Philly. And I was like, hey, like, I think I really want to try this. You know, I want to take control of my health. And do you think you can teach me how to weightlift? And he was like, sure, babe. Like, let's go. Like, let's do it. Just really, you know, classic Greg. And I remember my first meal that I ever like tried to be healthy. I recreated his exact breakfast. So it was like oatmeal, 6 eggs, blueberries. Like
6 eggs.
I made a bodybuilder meal and I was like, hell yeah. And I sent him a photo and I was like, I'm doing it. And he was like, love it, babe. I mean, sure. Like, it's a lot, but you can do that. Because, you know, bodybuilders, they like force feed so they can grow. But anyway, it was such a positive way, looking back, for me to enter fitness. Because the people I were looking up to were muscular.
Mm.
And I wanted to look, I wanted to have muscle. And I felt like it was really cool. I really admired Greg's work ethic when it came to bodybuilding and his passion. So I never had it in my head that I was going to be this cardio bunny. Like, I thought weights were awesome. And I was following, like, bikini competitors in the bodybuilding space. I remember this one, Angelica, she won Miss Bikini Olympia and I thought she was amazing. And I went and met her in person at one of the bikini shows and she was like, she signed for me. And I kind of had a positive start, I would say. And I always felt like weights were really empowering. Like, there's nothing like the feeling of lifting heavy. Like, I just think it's so
strong.
Cool. Strong. And it like embodied what I wanted for myself on the inside too. You know, my goal was like, I want to get small. It was like, I want to be a strong, disciplined person. And it completely changed my body, like you said. Like, I don't think people realize how difficult lifting weights is, especially when you're coming from a place of no movement at all. Mm-hmm. When you pick up your foot, you're like, oh my God. Every workout was a struggle for me. Like, it really was hard, but it completely changed the shape of my body, my legs, everything.
From the beginning, was it a mental, like, desire for you as well? Like, wherever you were at when you finally said, okay, Greg, I'm calling you and I want to make this change. Was it so much because you were mentally challenging going through different things, or was it strictly physical? I'm not loving myself and I want to change in that way. Like, did they match at the first start that you decided to do that? Or did the mental shift come way later?
That's a good question. So just for context, I had dropped out of school. I was a semester away from graduating and I was complete mess, like failing every class, like had just, my life was in shambles. So I moved back home with my dad. I stopped taking all the medication I was on, and I'm not a doctor and I'm not recommending that. I'm just, that was my reality. And it took me a couple months to recover from coming off because I was on heavy medication for my BPD. And it took a while for me to recoup and kind of have a sense of reality and, you know, just kind of like look around at my life and figure out what I wanted to do. And I felt like the way I could get control was my health. And I felt, my dad actually got me a book called, like, I think it was You Are What You Eat, or it was something to do with like food as medicine is what it was called. And I remember being kind of pissed off that he gave me this book. And I was like, you really don't get it. Like, food is not going to fix this. Plot twist, food did fix it. But food really did. I think what it did was give me a better baseline to come from. So my goal was to just mentally feel better. Like, I was in such mental agony for so long. I was like, I need to do something to feel better about myself. And I would say even from the beginning, I wasn't so obsessed with the physical. Like, I don't remember being obsessed with the way I looked or the scale. It was just like, I am committing to this mission because I just felt like I needed to do it. It was almost like a divine intervention. Like, I was at a rock bottom. And if I didn't take a step in this direction, then I was this close to just having a completely different life. I always say I was in such close proximity to like just bad people and bad decisions. I could have so seen myself going that way. And I'm so grateful that I didn't, because it was really, really close.
How did you handle the conversation with so many of those people in your life who, or even was there a conversation where you were growing, you were changing, you're leveling up, and you don't want to stunt your own growth? So what does that look like with your current friend group or whatever that was at the time?
Yeah, college, I had a really close group of friends in my sorority. But I had the identity I created at college. I was this party girl. Like, I was like always the one that was down. I was always like wild, making the craziest decisions. And it was a pretty like quick change to me being like, hey, like I can't go out anymore. You know, I can't do that anymore. And I look back now and I'm sort of regretful at how I handled it, because I, you know, I couldn't have a hard conversation with someone. I was so scared of abandonment and disappointing people that I didn't know how to go about it. So it ended poorly. Like, I kind of was a little bit of a ghoster. Like, I would just like drop out of people's life and never reach out again. And now I would handle it so differently. And I actually have reached back out to one or two of them and, you know, said, I'm so sorry at how I handled it. And, you know, we ended things nicely and we even talk now. But it was a necessary step for me. Like, I really needed to go on that journey alone. Like, I really didn't talk to anyone about it. I didn't post on social media for 9 months. I didn't have friends really. I just sort of focused on myself. Yeah, I think that was okay for me in that moment. Like, it sounds kind of unhealthy, but I think I needed that for myself.
I'm so proud of you. I feel like just hearing your story again, it always is so beautiful of everything that you have stepped into. And there is no perfect way that it can go. And we're doing the best we can in that moment. And I feel like sometimes it feels black and white, like you got to just leave the friends. And I can't even think about having that conversation. And you were doing the best what you could right now. And that moment right now, you're like, I just need to change. And all these people maybe remind me of this identity that's really hard for me to face. There's so much complexity to it. So I feel like it's just giving ourselves so much grace and compassion of like, take one step at a time. And it's okay if that step looks really gross and messy. I am the queen of messy right now. I feel like 2023 was my messiest year. And I, like I said to you at the beginning of asking you how you live that, because you see it, I mean, I have to see my 2023 so much on the camera. And I have to really talk to that side of myself of, you did the absolute best you could in that moment. Mm-hmm. And you did what you thought was right. And would I do things differently? I would, but I can't really take it back. And I hurt people in between. And I know that the people that are meant to be my life right now are there. And I feel that so deeply for you and just where you're at, of like, who you surround yourself are exactly who is supposed to be in your life. But sometimes people got to be left behind for a second, but you call them back and say, hey, girl, you know, sorry about that, but I love you.
Yeah. No, growth comes from mess. Like, it doesn't look clean and perfect. Like, I was talking to my therapist about that the other day, and I just have so many examples in my life of people who maybe didn't change in the drastic or haven't been through what I've been through. Because I look back on my past, I'm like, it was messy. Like, all these crazy things happened, so many ups and downs, but I would not be here right now if it weren't for that. And I also wouldn't be able to share with people. Like, I really feel like that's my purpose. I feel like I went through everything I went through to share and connect. I wouldn't have anything to share or connect on if I hadn't been through all of that, if I just kept things easy and the same and consistent, you know? Like, we really need to go through it sometimes. That's life. It's messy.
Yeah. I so agree. It's so, so for us.
I heard a term recently, post-traumatic growth, and that hit me so hard and identified so much with what you just said, Mari, in that there is a lot of growth that happens from the trauma. And something else I always remind myself is, we are not our trauma. It is just a part of us. Like, it's not your full identity. And I think you taking that time to be alone and to shed the people that couldn't support you when you needed to support yourself has created such a sense of self-love that just oozes in everything you do. And it's felt so deeply. I have a question for you that I'm personally going through too, just with all of our alignment. But you had a large physical transformation years ago.
Yep.
And I think when we have these really amazing goals and we're constantly chipping away at them, that reward system's really gratifying and it's really amazing. And then you get to this point where you haven't like crossed the finish line. In my mind, like, there's no finish line. There's just life and like the lifestyle that comes within it. But you've really maintained such a beautiful life and even have like continued to change within that. How have you done that? Like, you are years and years into this journey now. Like, we're not just talking about the weight loss now. Like, we're talking about your life now. Mm. How do you continue to give yourself that self-love every day and maintain everything that you've afforded yourself?
I was just talking about this with someone, and I feel like it's hard. You guys can probably relate with form and everything you're doing. It's hard. I kind of came from nothing. Like, when I started this, I had nothing. I had a front desk job at Orange Theory Fitness making minimum wage. I had nothing to lose. Like, I really was starting from nothing. But when you get to a certain level, it's like, okay, the bar is here. Now what? Now what? Now what? Like, there's almost this pressure to keep leveling up. And even when I launched my podcast, it was like, I have so many more eyes on me. Like, this can't fail. And I'm not someone who would do something just for fun. I'm like, I'm doing it full. Like, I'm prepping, I'm pushing myself. And it's such a good question. I feel like lately, I've really been trying to work on self-awareness, even catching myself this week and being like, why did I feel the need to make myself so busy? And I think it was coming from a place of pain with this big life transition I'm going through. I'm moving to Austin. Something big's happening with my business. I want to get pregnant. Like, this big change for me. And I feel sort of this absence because I don't have a super close relationship with my family. And while Greg is sharing everything with his mom and I see other people sharing with their parents, I feel this hole. And I think when I feel the hole, I fill it with stuff and doing stuff. And just catching myself and being aware of that, I feel like is progress to me. Mm. And I'm trying to let go. I want to keep having success and I love working and I love what I do, but I'm sort of reframing what success means to me.
What does success mean to you?
I mean, she's like, I'm working on it, bitch.
Right now, in this moment, mark the day.
No, it's such a good question. I feel like it has shifted for me because I feel like it's crazy. We all think that when we get to a certain point, we're like, oh, then I'll be happy. Then everything's good. But you get there and you're like, I don't know. I think I'm not feeling what I thought I would feel. And I've kind of had this realization that I want to create the family that I always wanted. Like, that's such a healing thought for me. And to me, it's like, what's the point in all this unless you can share it? And I really feel that way with my friends, with Fee, with you guys, with Leo, with all the people in my life. I'm like, if we can't share it with people, then what's the freaking point? Mm. And I got to this level where Greg and I were working so much and our whole lives. I mean, I love Bloom, but it was my whole life. Like, it consumed, my life was Bloom. Like, I was a walking, talking Bloom. And I was like, I need to have a home life and a family where I can, like, just live and exist and have fun. And part of my journey of that this year was, like, picking up the horseback riding, which was such a, like, inner child thing for me. Mm. And when I started that, I was like, is this dumb? Like, is this dumb that I'm an adult picking up this hobby for no reason? Like, why am I doing this? And it has truly been the most healing thing I could have done for myself because I love it with everything. Like, I think about it all the time. I love it so much. So success to me is, like, living my full potential in my career and doing and living out my purpose, but also like having fun. Mm-hmm. And really, like, what is the point unless I'm having fun and sharing it with people? So I'm still figuring out exactly what that means. I'm so proud of where Greg and I have gotten, and it's a success that I could have never have dreamed of and I never thought I was worthy of. But I want to share it with people and I want to have a family to share it with, I think.
Yeah. I love that. I think you are just, I know you are such a nurturer, and so much of what you're saying resonates so deeply with myself and just in knowing Sam and her heart and her experience so much within both of us. How would you describe your future self as a mom? Like, how do you want to show up in motherhood?
I'm worried because I feel like I'm going to spoil the shiz out of my kid. Like, that's the thing, because it's such a healing thought to be like, I'm going to give them everything I always wanted. Like,
yeah,
a pony. What do you want? Like, oh, but I just, you know,
a mini pony.
I need a reason to get a mini pony.
Please,
you know,
please get one. Mm.
Anyways, I hope that it's a very soft, like, comforting relationship that they feel like they can tell me anything and I'm there for them. I mean, I didn't really have that. I want them to feel safe and, like, taken care of, that it's fun and there's laughter and that I'm just super involved. Like, I'd really love to be just super involved with whatever they're doing, whatever they love doing. I can't wait to be a parent. It excites me a lot. I, for some reason, like, envision making lunch, like, pack lunch,
oh my God,
you know?
I love that, with, like, little notes and stuff.
I think of little recipes every day. I'm like, aww, ooh, that would be cute. Like, pancakes with, like, bananas and just, like, healthy versions of, yes, things for kids. Like, that excites me for some reason.
I love that.
I see the content now.
Yeah, I'm here for it.
I know.
Oh, gosh. I mean, you're going to be the best mom ever. I feel like I want to touch back on acne just because I relate to it so much. And I know, again, that Sammy and I just have so many similarities, which is such a beautiful conversation that's here. I would love to know, with all the noise of acne, and there's so much out there, and me and you even met on a walk once, and we were talking about how people give suggestions, and you're like, I've tried absolutely everything in the book. Do not tell me, don't let my dog lick my face. Like, what are you talking about?
Also, like, they're totally gonna lick our faces.
Oh, I let my dog lick my face, and then I go wash it really quick.
You do?
I let him lick the crap out of it, and then I'm like, I have to wash it.
Sam, I was literally about to say, I don't trust people who don't let their dogs lick their face.
Neither do I.
But I do. I just have to go wash it because I'm scared that the tongue is getting bacteria.
I let my dog do ever.
Bagel and I, like, make out. I let Bagel kiss me more than Andrew.
No, same.
Generally.
The kisses are unbelievable.
Yeah.
But remember, it's just like you get all the information and it can be so overwhelming. And I think my heart just breaks because I get it. And I think you can get it too. And I want to tap so much into the self-love within having acne. But I also just want to know, based on all of the knowledge and goodies that you have learned with acne, what are three things that you would be like, okay, you're struggling with acne that someone could do, just three that you feel like have really helped you?
Okay. Whew.
I know it's hard. I know, because it is such a journey. Like, it's not just everything adds up, right? It's like, oh, that one time I did that one thing definitely worked, but there needed four other things,
yes,
to be a part of it.
Lab tests. Like, actually, you can go on ClearStem and they have a lab testing option where you just pay a certain amount and Emily will end up analyzing it for you. So if you don't have the funds to get your own naturopath, that's a really good option. I think lab testing will tell you the answers that you're not going to get from a dermatologist.
And I have to comment on that. I think the biggest reason people don't do that lab test specifically is it is expensive. I looked it up and I was telling my girlfriend about it. But the amount that you will actually spend on skincare, seeing four different doctors, the amount of money I actually did spend, I'm like, I would rather go spend that money to someone who's going to do it right. And I know for a guaranteed, rather I had to get my blood work done at least three different times because they were doing it wrong.
100%. I spent so much money on seeing different dermatologists, lasers, all this crazy stuff when I should have just gotten lab testing. So lab testing. Another thing I did that really helped, and this one, people are going to be like, oh, it's such a big effort, but I really think it helped. I went through every single skincare product and makeup product I was using and put it through a website to see if they had pore clogging ingredients on a scale of like 1 to 5.
I know.
So many of mine were in the red zone and I was so sad. Because, you know, you get stuck on a routine where you're like, oh, I can't live without that blush.
For sure.
Throughout the blush. And actually, there's really great options that are non-pore clogging. And even if you don't have acne, apparently if you use pore clogging ingredients, it creates more wrinkles. Like it just has an impact on your skin.
What are your favorites now?
RMS. I love RMS. They have a glow sunscreen that makes you look bronzy and it's sunscreen. It's so good. The foundation's so good. Merit Blush. Not all their stuff is non-pore clogging, but really good. My friend Celeste likes Honest Beauty, I think. So check that. And also I'll put in the same category, like switching out my cleaning products. I stopped using all the really harsh stuff and just used Branch Basics and that helped a ton. Third, it's hard to pick, but I would say a really big one that I did, and I'm kind of guilty now because I've started doing it again, but I stopped getting coffee at like random places because a lot of it's moldy.
Ugh.
And then they pour the hot coffee into plastic and the microplastics obviously build up toxins and that hurts your liver and then that hurts your hormones. It's all connected. So I started just making my coffee at home or just doing the matcha or the peppermint tea or something and just being conscious of that. But now I'm back to it. So, but when you get to a certain level, when you heal for months and months and months, you can get away with things here and there. It's not like you're going to cut out certain things forever. It's just for a period. Think of it as like a healing time.
Yeah.
You know?
What do you think your acne taught you the most going through it? And I think you've said you've gone through it for 10 years. Yeah, I've gone through it for a little over 5. And again, I still go through the ebbs and flows of it. It's something that I continuously lean into as a practice. But what do you think has been the biggest lesson or something you've taken from it so deeply?
Yeah. I had acne for about 10 years and it has taught me a lot. Some of my darkest moments, I feel like, were when my skin was, and it sounds dramatic. Like, I think people who haven't had acne, it's difficult to comprehend how all-encompassing it can feel. Like, to even just look people in the eye or leave your house or walk around, it's like, it's the first thing people look at. So I've had some super, super dark moments with my acne. And in the past year, doing the podcast and showing up on camera multiple times a week with this camera close to your face, like lights on you, seeing every single, watching back
the lights,
yeah. Like watching back the video and being like you learn, when you have acne for that long, you learn the first thing you look for in your face is a blemish. You're like, what's new on my face? Like, oh my God, that's new. That wasn't there yesterday. Yes. Like that pore looks inflamed. Like what's going on there? I would watch back edits and just notice my skin over and over and over. It's almost like a self-harm. It's like you are so self-critical. And then I met with this woman from Pacific Touch, New York City. Her name's Nicola, and she's from New Zealand, and she's very spiritual and very, like, soft. And she reached out to me on TikTok. And at this point, I was like, I will talk to anyone, like, please. And this is how I met Emily eventually. But Nicola was like, you need to understand and tell yourself that your skin is telling you that something's wrong. Like, this is a blessing. Your skin is telling you that something's wrong. And it will heal. You just need to heal yourself first. So I started like saying these affirmations every day. My skin is telling me something's wrong. I'm grateful for the message it's sending me. I'm grateful for the message it's sending me over and over again. And also learning to like, it made me realize how sort of like reliant I was on my appearance to feel good about myself, which I had never thought about. You know, I never thought of myself that way. But it's like, why is this having such a big impact on my daily mood? So learning to love parts of myself that were not my exterior, I think, was the biggest takeaway for me.
Wow.
That's powerful.
That is so powerful.
That's really powerful. I have a fun question for you. So obviously you and Greg work together and you're married and you live together and you do life together. How do you keep it fun? How do you keep it spicy? Like, how do you keep the love of your marriage so alive and so intact when there's just a lot of things that have overlap in all facets of life within your marriage?
Yeah. And I want to be honest, it's not easy to work with your partner. Like, sometimes I want to kill him straight up. He's crazy also. He's a New York Italian. He's constantly yelling.
I feel like he's basically Jewish if he's a New York Italian. So I identify with that and I freaking love it.
Constantly yelling. Yeah. Like the most intense person you've ever met. Crazy, so passionate about what he does. Mm-hmm. Like, he's the CEO of Bloom and he owns it. Like, he runs that whole team. He loves business. He loves what he does. Thank God he loves numbers and marketing. And I'm like, good, because you will not find me
that's
doing
like
that.
Sammy and myself. I'm literally Sammy's husband. We like to call it work wife, but
no,
I am Greg.
Literally do not talk numbers. I actually told Sammy the other day, I said, I actually don't want you, this is kind of a crazy side note as a business, but I told her, I don't want to know how many subscribers we have. And the reason, I know that's so weird and mind-blowing, but the reason I want to do that is because I felt like I started to look at form as a business rather than my heart when I knew the numbers, when I was like, of course, Sammy behind the scenes is like, she loves the growth. She loves that energy. She is the numbers. Where I'm like, that's not my forte. Where I actually feel like it was holding me back and was making me feel like I needed to be thinking about the numbers rather than just thinking about leading with my heart.
Obsessed with that. I had a recent realization of the same thing where I was like, I'm going to stop pretending I know what's going on in the finance meetings. I don't. And I can't add value here. So I'm going to go. Mm-hmm. And I'll see you in the...
Protect your time.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I feel like we relate to that so much and that there's so much trust.
Mm-hmm.
And we keep the other person informed, but we also lean in and like lead with our expertise.
100%. And when Greg comes in a creative meeting and gives a heinous idea, I
You're
kick
like,
him out.
Bye. Yeah. Boy, bye.
I said this recently, but he wanted to do a shoot with me in a bathtub with greens. And I said,
and you're calling that a heinous idea?
I said,
I love it.
See yourself out.
Greg and I really are going to
in front of in front of a room of 20 people. I said, see yourself out. Your ideas are not wanted here. Thank
just
you.
Just to get the full vision, you are naked in a bathtub and the greens powder is the water.
Yeah.
But it's strawberry kiwi at least.
Yeah. Like, I was like, just so I'm clear, this is a horrible idea, babe.
Wow.
Please go back to your office.
Greg.
And he
yeah.
was like, perfect.
Go back
you.
To the numbers.
He just like blurts things out and I'm like, goodbye.
But that's like a wild fantasy of his that you probably should live out at one point.
I'm not sure if I think he really thought that it was going to hit. And all of us were just like, mm-mm.
Stick to numbers, baby.
Stick to numbers. See ya. Bye. We definitely like roast each other in that way. The way we keep it fun, every weekend we do some kind of date night. Like usually Saturday night, we're a little bit grandparent-ish. Like we are definitely in bed by 8:30.
Love.
But we love it. We will go out for sushi or do a little fun thing, maybe host at our house. We definitely roast each other. I think that's, that. You know, keep it fun in that way. And we love traveling together. That's a really big thing for us. Like we love doing little adventures and excursions. We actually just got a van. Did I tell you about this?
I know about the van, but
wait,
Sam needs
what?
To hear about the van. Sam's going to want to get a van
I
now.
Know.
JD's going to get one thought of this and it's going to be purchased. I'm
I
so
think
nervous.
I saw you guys did a van trip once.
We did.
Okay, so it's like that.
Oh, wow.
It's a cross-country van with a bed and a kitchen.
Okay, that's what ours had. We just rented it for the weekend, but it was amazing.
We have like fantasized about living in a van since I've met Greg like 10 years ago.
Oh.
And we watch Van Life YouTube. Like for some reason, it's, I think because our life is so complicated and high responsibility, we have this fantasy of just like living off the grid in a van. So we got the van. Her name's, we're between Olive and Brussels sprout right now.
Wait.
So let me know your vote.
Olive.
I mean, I'm a Brussels sprout girl because I'm obsessed with Brussels sprouts.
Yes. She
but
is.
How did we land on these options?
Olive was our first one. And then we were like, oh, it's a little too sophisticated. Like Brussels kind of fits better.
Yeah, I mean,
Brussels is a little rugged if you want. I don't know where you're going and taking this van.
It's rugged.
Okay, yeah, Brussels probably fits more.
Yeah.
And they're both round, so they roll. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, I love that. So it really is a full metaphor.
It was thought out, like deeply thought out. You need a dog named Brussels, like okay. Bagel and Brussels.
So we're definitely going to get a lox. Like,
yes! Oh, I'm. What am I talking about? You need a lox.
I know, it's happening.
I know. And river is like the perfect lox color.
Yeah, you... Oh. Go
I
red.
I literally want a full ranch in Texas with a full rainbow of doodles. Like, that is my future.
I feel like I am manifesting this energy. It. Yes, you are. Yeah. I feel like there's this energy right now of we've been so in the hustle bustle of like city life, go. And again, this is me being black and white right now. I know everyone has their personal dreams, but I'm just talking like in this group and people that I've been talking to more. I feel like there is this moment of romanticizing this, like the little things in life and the joys in life of taking a van and going for the weekend. Rather, as much I think the romanticizing was no sleep, you know, eat, then drink, then do this. It was like such intense energy where I am like really grateful for this energy happening right now. And I don't know if you can feel it too, of just actually finding so much joy in cooking dinner.
Yeah.
Finding joy in taking a van.
Yeah.
Finding joy in your morning walks.
Yeah. I was actually talking. We got our hair done this morning. I saw girls.
It looks amazing.
We love our little best friend activities. So I was chatting with Sierra, our hair stylist, who's the best. And I was telling her how like my brain always naturally goes in conversation to like, what's your next trip? What do you have going on? Tell me, tell me, tell me. And I was telling her like, I just want to hear about how you want to spend your time at home. Like, give me your dream day at home. Like, what is your morning routine looking like? Like, really similar to our conversation now. And I think it's when you can really, like, you're at this point in life where you can take any trip. You've really, like, built such an empire around you. And it shows you that everything's kind of a means to an end. And that end is basically you and Greg in your Brussels sprout van in the middle of freaking nowhere with not access to the rest of the world.
That's the thing. Like, when you get there, you do all the things and you have the exciting times and you're like, oh, it's kind of better at home. Like, sometimes simpler is better. And I really think that's the case. Like, some of my favorite memories of being at home. Yeah. I saw this meme the other day that was like, the gateway drug is sourdough. And then you want goats, and then you want pigs, and you want cows. And it really spoke to me.
I feel so seen. Yeah.
I feel like
I straight up send you every barn meme.
I know. But knowing you, you're going to start like a breeding program and have like a full-blown business of doodles.
I mean, I'm here for it. My grandma straight up did that by accident.
I'm dead.
You didn't know this about Bubby?
No.
Okay, so really quick side story. I'll make it so quick. My family's from Dallas. And they had a lot of land in Dallas, and Bubby got some Rottweilers to live on the land. Well, they ended up having sex, mating, whatever dogs do. I don't think about the naughty stuff. But she ended up with 27 Rottweilers. My grandma.
You're kidding.
Wait, I can't even picture her having 27
so
Rottweilers.
I have all of these beautiful photos of my mom, literally at my age, just like stunning mom in her puppy energy holding 20 Rottweilers.
It makes them sound like they're like really tough, you know?
Yeah.
Because Rottweilers are like tough.
Right. And I'm definitely a doodle stan, but like
doodles, wow. Rottweiler. Wow. That's a happy accident.
Yeah, right.
But would you consider that like the, what are they calling it? The feminine energy? Like people are in their masculine or their feminine?
Yeah. It's that softness. It's the simpleness. It's the no plan is the best plan. I do think the divine feminine energy really is this like at home nurturing sense of just being and loving and not like hustle and bustle is masculine for sure. I feel that. And I think when I operate in that, which I'm guilty of as again, like in our business, I'm overseeing a lot of the stuff that doesn't have a lot of the feeling in it.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of trapping myself within it. And the feminine side is such the beautiful side. So where the heart is poured in. And I think you can lead with masculinity and softness and heart at the same time.
Yeah.
But truly channeling feminine energy is a simpler, more lovely, everyday way.
This might be we're going on a tangent about it, but I feel like us women have had to be masculine to be in this world that we're in, where I feel like we're finally finding the balance of how to have both.
I agree.
It's because I actually think femininity is the true beauty and masculinity that men crave in a way that's different than I think how we think of usual feminine energy. Like I actually think the most strength is that women, us literally as women, actually have this strong intuition. We can birth babies. We have so much gift and magic within us that I think us stepping into that as actually our masculine strength is a powerful thing happening right now. And then also can be badass and do all these other things, but not having to live in that masculine energy to compete with the men of the world.
Totally. And how cool is it? I mean, I love the fact that Transform and Pursuit of Wellness are up there on the charts with the men. Like, it makes me just...
It's a lot of dudes up there, huh?
It's a lot of dudes up there.
A lot of dudes.
Talking to us about our feelings and our bodies, for what it's worth.
Period. Yes. Period. The girls want to hear from the girls.
Yes.
And I feel like we're, as you just said, we can be in our feminine but be powerful at the same time. I think that's really cool.
I agree. What point did you decide, okay, I have Bloom, I have Slay, all these businesses going, I really want to step into the podcast? And does it feel like a connection to those, or do you feel like it's so a different energy than your other businesses?
Such a great question. It was something that I'd always thought about. Like, I've always been someone who loves communicating. I love connecting with people. I feel like it's where I'm my strongest. And it was always the value I brought to Bloom. I feel like I'm not a sit in a chair behind a screen operator. I'm someone who likes to get out there and tell the story and connect and meet the community. Like, that's my thing. So on Instagram, I got like just a little tired of condensing everything to 30 seconds or even shorter, like with TikTok, everything's so short. And I was like, I feel like I'm not really exploring what I have to say on here. Mm. And I did a couple podcast interviews and I was like, oh, this is pretty fun. So I really wanted to start a podcast and also just keep learning. Like, my pursuit of wellness is not at an end. I'm always learning more. I'm always evolving, changing my mind on things, figuring things out. So I wanted to have guests on who were teaching me more and just opening up the conversation, even with people I don't agree with 100% of the time. I like hearing new perspectives. So the podcast really was like an evolution of my platform. In terms of whether it's like a connection with Bloom, I would say no. Mm-hmm. Like, I really was kind of intentional about... And obviously Bloom comes up. Bloom is a huge part of my life, huge part of my story. I'm so proud of what we've built. But I want the podcast to be its own space. And I don't want people to come and feel like, I don't know, I want everyone to feel welcome there. It's a new mm-hmm. space for me, and it's a new form of what I'm doing. And I also feel like people have gotten to know me way better with the podcast. Like, I feel like people actually didn't know me fully until the show. Because mm-hmm. when you listen to someone for an hour straight, you can't, you know, there's not much you can hide. It's like, this is me.
I know this is a weird question to piggyback off of that, but you said something about changing your mind.
Mm.
How do you handle changing your mind? And it's kind of a weird question, but I feel like in our society, for me, I feel like you have to stay to one way. And it can't even relate to your fitness journey of being like, once you choose this workout routine, that's it. You're not allowed to change your mind. It can kind of feel really uncomfortable to be like, I'm kind of curious about Pilates, but I've only known this.
Yeah.
What is, I guess, the conversation or the advice you give to someone who wants to change their mind, but they're a little nervous to do so?
Yeah, it's a good question. And I feel like I've really embraced that lately. Like, I was a bit stuck in my ways, and then I experimented with flexibility. It was something I talked about a lot in therapy, because I was like, I feel really stuck in my routine. And when I started experimenting with flexibility with my workouts, I was like, oh, this is fun. Like, I enjoy this. And I think it's tough too when you're public on social media, because people want you to stay, or maybe we invent the pressure mm-hmm. in our head, but I even think of like,
stay familiar,
stay the brand that you said you were. You know, I think of like YouTubers sometimes who start their brand a certain way and then they evolve and grow inevitably. And they're like, I'm not that brand anymore. And it's interesting to watch. Like, I know a lot of celebrities even struggle mm-hmm. with that, you know, as they age in the industry. So I've been on social media since 2017, and my idea of health has evolved over time. And I actually feel like the podcast gives me space to do that, because I'm not like, all of a sudden, I'm eating carnivore. I'm trying to, like, I'm just like, you know, on the podcast, I can actually be, they know the whole story, because they heard me talk about how bad I was struggling with acne. They heard the episode with Emily. They heard the episode with Paul Saladino.
They know your why.
They can connect the dots with me. Like, we're on a journey together, and it keeps it interesting. And it's almost like I'm a guinea pig. Like, I'm trying things out and reporting back, and didn't like that. I'm going to try this instead. So I do feel like podcasts are a more healthy form of social media, because it's more long form and it gives you space to sort of mess up, try again, you know, learn as you go. And I've had guests on that completely disagree with each other. Like, I've had Paul Saladino come on and, you know, he only eats meat. And then I have someone on who's full plant-based, and you take from it what you need.
Absolutely.
And what works from you. And I've learned so much from all the different guests, but at the end of the day, I'm going to do, you know, what works for me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think, speaking of change, I just want to send some love and intention for some upcoming change for you in a big move to Austin, where I live. And I mean, holy freaking shit. I'm so excited for you to be in Austin.
I'm so excited. I'm so sad.
I know. When you officially told me you were moving, I straight up sent Sammy a voice note being like, no, this is the greatest gift ever. But less about me, all about you. What is your intention with this move to Austin, Texas?
Me and Brussels sprout are coming in hot.
Hot.
I might go to your house first.
Yeah. Like, pick me up.
What is that outside?
I'm just going to move into your van.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah. There's plenty of space. Come on in. No, but seriously, like, you are a huge reason that I'm so excited. And I know Sammy C is going to visit us, and I can't wait.
I'm so excited. I honestly couldn't find like a better match that you two are going to be together in Austin. It makes me so happy, and I will be visiting.
I agree. I feel like it's meant to be.
It really is.
You know, and we've got dinner at Uchi, one of the Austin classics, and it was so good. And I just like vibe with you so much, and I'm so excited. Austin for me symbolizes a lot. I feel like it's a wholesome place. You know, when I go there and I walk around Lady Bird Lake, it's like families and dogs and babies. And it feels like people have goals and they are like motivated and driven. But at the same time, the personal life and family life is there. Mm-hmm. And people have hobbies. They're playing pickleball. They're running. They're fit. They're wakeboarding.
Wake surfing. I love
Frick.
You.
Why do I always do that? On the boat. Okay. So Sammy is like a killer wake surfer.
It's my personality now.
It is. Well, you remind me of me and my horses.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's just the same. Like, you
so
know.
I'm going to get you on the board and you'll get me on the horse.
I'm sure it's super similar. So I can't wait.
Right.
But it just feels like everyone's like living life there. And it's tough because LA is so beautiful and you could never beat the weather here and the palm trees and the beach. But I'm sort of like, I don't use LA for what it's for, I feel. Like I'm at this place where I'm ready to settle down and have a home life and have kids and be a bit slower. And I think Austin is the place for that. And there's also a lot of CPG there, as in like supplements, drinks, all that kind of stuff, which we will be exploring with Bloom. And a lot of podcasts is there. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I'm in the right place for me career-wise, but also personally.
I mean, I just think it is such a gift to Austin. We are so lucky to have you.
Thank you.
I'm so excited for myself, but I'm also so excited for what you and Greg are going to bring to Austin. And it is just going to, I think, give you such a new breath of life.
Yeah.
I feel that for you.
I get butterflies.
I'm so excited to watch it.
When I think about it, honestly. Like when I was there last weekend and I did not want to leave. I think that's when you know.
That's when you know.
Yeah, that is when you know. I haven't hit too hard yet there, but that is when you know.
I thought the freeze was going to keep me there and I was like, fine.
Yeah,
I'll stay.
Keep me here.
Oh, I love that.
Meanwhile, it literally froze our pipes. Andrew was FaceTiming us earlier with a hair blow dryer on our pipes. I'm like, babe, I don't think that's that.
I was
like,
going to say, is that going to work?
Andrew's like, so that husband that's like, let me do it myself. And I'm like, babe, get the task rabbit right now.
Me. Greg tried to fix our gate once and was unsuccessful. And then our lovely handyman, Manuel, fixed it in 2 seconds.
We'd love a good handyman.
You just let him try and then moving on.
Good job, babe.
Yeah. Okay. I feel like I want to end here of what is something, it could be your life motto, a mantra, something you religiously see yourself telling yourself on those days that you need that extra lift, or even telling a friend. It could be now, it could have changed a million times, but what is that one thing you're telling yourself?
Oh, let me think of how to put this eloquently. Since I'm in this moment of like transition and it feels really hard and overwhelming, it's these moments that are so worth it. You know, like it's these moments that such great things come from. I feel like any time I've had such adversity in my life, only been for a greater purpose. And I just have to remind myself of that when I'm overwhelmed, when I'm tired, when I feel like I can't keep going. That's when you keep going.
Yeah. Reframing those thoughts. Yeah. They're gifts.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Gosh, this was so special.
Thank you
guys. So much for being here and just sharing your heart and being literally being you. It is such a gift. So thank you.
Couldn't love you more, neighbor.
Thank you so much.
See you in Texas.
Woo! Yeehaw, baby.
Yeehaw.
Thank you guys so much.
Giddy up, fam.
Yeehaw.
We're officially DeLulu.
Goodbye, everyone.
Officially
riding
lost
a cowboy
it.
For too long. Thank you so much for being here.
You listening to this episode is you saying yes to living the dream life you absolutely deserve. We release new Transform episodes every Wednesday. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss a thing.
Also, we would love to hear from you, so leave us a review. And if you include your Instagram handle, we might even reach out and gift you a complimentary form membership. You can also follow us on Instagram at Transform and then at Sammy Spalter and at Sammy Clark. We love you.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.